is how to introduce the set-based code processes that have been so productive in other areas of intervention with code into the domain of DSP. What would that look like? How would the presence of set-based work with code make the difference to the sensations and the movements that we have embodied with DSP? What could it do to our sensations of wirelessness or audiovisual material?
That's it.
Wants to ask a question.
No, I'm just curious, actually, well, if you continuing on the point you ended, I wasn't sure exactly what you meant. I mean, as an example then of the kind of success, sorry, just if you could elaborate on where you ended. I'm curious, or well, maybe that's unfair, but I just, when you say success of this kind of more the code, interventions in a kind of graph-based...
Well, not just graph-based, but the set-based. What I was describing as set-based graph was just an illustration of that kind of coding, but yes.
But what is an example of this kind of a success in terms of intervention?
What is an example?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you could say that there are so many, but much of, say, NetArt... The constitution of NetArt is reliant on people being able to write scripts that, say, scrape websites or that trawl through hyperlinks, and they're assembling lists and manipulating or enumerating or graphing or mapping. These are all examples of the kind of set-based operations which I think are extremely powerful and intelligible in ways that DSP is more difficult to grapple with.
So an example of something like Theora as a open source compression is somehow different than...
Yes, the Theora, I guess Theora provides... Theora is an open source video codec that allows you to do similar things that you can do with MPEG or any of the other more common audiovisual codecs that have enormous intellectual property issues associated with them. So the MPEG video standard, which is used for DVDs and for digital television and all kinds of applications, probably these cameras, I'm not sure, has a pool of 900 patents attached to it. So it's an immensely kind of difficult object to work with, partly too because of intellectual property. If you want to do an open source implementation of, or a free software implementation of that, you should in fact be paying licensing fees. So I think FFmpeg, the one that Femke was using this morning, just says, forget about all that, we're not going to pay any licensing fee. But I was thinking also of perhaps of work that begins to, I don't know the work, I don't know if it exists, but work that begins to explore the actual structures of the algorithms of video codecs in a way that makes their normality and their everydayness a bit less invisible. So, and it would require, when I've looked at the code for the video digital signal processing, and there are many things happening there. There are many ways in which the signal is being treated in order to allow it to kind of move between machines. But it's quite difficult for someone who hasn't worked a lot with the code to work out how you could make some of the things going on there open, more open. Perhaps the analogy to the GIMP in GIMP thing would be an instrumented visual audio-visual codec, in a way that shows you, well, just how many things have been done to the particular stream of images that you saw, that begin to subtract and add different things. For instance, if you subtracted one of the forms of transformation occurring, what would that do to the experience of it if you took, these are possible experiments for artists and
engineers, I think. And perhaps they've already happened, I'm not sure.
One thing to know is that Michael Terry actually, before starting InGIMP, has done lots of experiments on producing visual versioning systems. So for artists to be able to see through different image manipulations. So I can imagine that when you would do something like that for video, it could at least help you see what you sense is there. And this is, so I wanted to ask you about this mix or coming together of these two quite different approaches to code. Well, the one, like, it's interesting to see how the one on paper could not be further from, let's say, human bodies or beings, but at the same time has become quite natural to us and becomes increasingly natural, it seems, through the way we operate within databases, basically. And the other, which from your description I understand is close, but completely escapes me in how I could enter, let's say.
Yes.
So I would like to hear more about how you think these two things play together or not, or.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I should say that when you look at the code for the digital signal processing, there are many set-like operations there as well. I was just highlighting the much more quantified mathematical transforms, but of course, you would find lots of set-based operations present there as well. That's one thing. But I think what was interesting and what you said was the thing that appears to be most abstract, the graph structure, is now something that we've all begun to embody in various ways because we have a sense of, for instance, the topology of links on a website, and this is a graph structure. Or we have very strong embodiments of sets in the form of various ways of navigating around menus or of setting attributes. Or so I think it's a really kind of nice irony that the abstract thing has become naturalized and the thing that should be close to our senses and close to our the orientation of our bodies is now become the opaque thing. I suppose, but I mean, one thing there is partly that the set-based code constructs are dealing with material that is organized around recognizable forms of social identity. So often we are setting, in social software, for instance, such as Facebook, we're setting attributes that describe an identity, and these attributes are pre-given, they're socially coded, heavily socially coded, and that way they become susceptible to set-based operations. Whereas the things that the DSP is dealing with are sub-representative. They're the material. I mean, they're called, well, for instance, the algorithm I was describing on with the fast Fourier transform is often referred to as part of the physical layer of the wireless network. It's not the data layer or the logical layer. It's seen as part of the physical material. Yeah, I think the notion of it being sub-representative is the best way I've got of describing it at the moment. It's a condition of experience, but it's not a content of experience. I think that's the best I can do with the relation between them, sorry.
Okay.
But, I mean, my proposal would be to bring more set-based operations to instrument this digital signal processing. Yeah, that's my...
What would be the, I mean, I know you sort of hinted at this, but I need some help. What would be the more sort of political and philosophical implications of introducing this set-based approach? You know, you said like there is this really kind of individuated thing going on with wirelessness, which I absolutely agree, and clearly there's so much more potential. And, you know, is a different kind of mathematics or a different kind of geography of calculation, to use this phrase, would that really, can you imagine a way that that would translate into a different kind of actual experience?
One thing, no, I mean, I don't have a good imagination of that, no. For me, I suppose the idea of kind of developing a small theory of DSP in terms of this intensive movement of interiorization in the center of envelopment was just to kind of pose a problem that others who imagine better would work with. But on the other hand, I mean, I have seen works, well, there are works that that I've seen that just attempt to render palpable, you know, the presence of signals or the movement of signals. So a work I saw mentioned on the web recently would kind of place these bands around the body that tightened as you kind of moved into wireless hotspots. So your body would be increasingly marked. As the density of the wireless networks increased, your body was kind of more, was basically pressurized by these bands that would contract as the signal grew stronger. I mean, if it's a way of imagining making, rendering experience, in experience, these things that are normally only visible in the form of a small icon or in the corner of your screen. The political question is harder. I mean, definitely trying to... I don't want to just say that these things are individualizing, although I think they are. I guess I'm looking for something more nuanced there, or something that is a bit more open than making that critique, though that critique is incredibly important when you look at the ultra-mobile personal computing promotional video. But it seems a very familiar critique now you could find in a standard sociology or... Yeah, so...
Yeah, oh, I just wondered if, you know, there was some... If you felt that the ways in which the mathematics is done have are translated into that that kind of ambiance even of the actual real architecture that we end up living in, you know, if there is that relationship at some, I mean, not necessarily at some obvious causal level, but at some level, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I mean, I have this idea, I guess, that there is a texture of contemporary sensation that is very historically specific. And I think all of us have an awareness of this when we look at screens today. And there are various kinds of, I guess you could call them artifacts that we see on screens, the way in which movement occurs on screens that are due to the digital signal processing. So we saw when Michael was on the screen before, occasionally his face would turn into a set of blocks. And this is a direct result of the architecture of the... and that architecture is evolved to try and adapt itself to a specific political economy of telecommunications where bandwidth has a certain value and processing power has a certain cost. You can do a political economy of digital signal processing, which sees it as a kind of a very convoluted response to the cost of bandwidth and the cost of processing power, and tries to make very complicated adjustments between the two. There's an enormous energy going into compressing more DSP power into handheld gadgets, and much of the news coming out of Taiwan, China, Malaysia, Singapore around, you know, their interest in research, and this is top priority research for them, DSP-based devices, is about how they're achieving new levels of compression or new levels of miniaturization or speed in. And so, yeah, I suppose a political economy answer would be one aspect of my response, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we will talk about these things while eating mussels, maybe, or other things here. I think the fire is lit across the street, so maybe we can pick up some signals there. Thank you very much.
C'est maintenant qu'on dit au revoir aussi à Monique, Brigitte, Annick, et Anne qui est déjà partie, donc les traductrices qui ont fait ce qu'elles ne font jamais, c'est-à-dire de traduire une téléconférence. Donc c'est leur première. À demain.